Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, this judge at the Olympics, a French judge, supposedly intimidated by a Russian judge. I'm not exactly sure all of that, how all of that happened. See, I went out to dinner with some friends last night, and I mentioned the quandary that we're in when we talk about the Olympic medal for the Russians and the Canadians and the figure skating and the ice dancing and the judge and all of the stuff that surrounds the sport. The Americans didn't win the medal, so it doesn't make any difference to most of us. This story about the Canadians and the Russians and the French judge and the Russian judge, the only part of this story that's interesting to me, and I don't mean to start pulling out my soapbox and climbing on it and bellyaching about stuff that I usually bellyache about, but I think I will, and that is this French judge. This French judge intimidated by the Russians somehow. You know, can I just say this? Why don't you guys in France, I got a great idea for you. Here you go. Why don't you just consider America to be like a loud teenager with its radio turned up? And you, well, you're the old, wrinkled up, pruned up people that live upstairs. You're naturally, you've been around a long time, you've taken your licks, you've rolled over a few times, and you've gotten a few shots. You've lived a long time. You're an old country. You're an old, old country, and you're old, and you're tired, and you're wearing a diaper, and you're cranky. And America is a young country. By most standards, we're a very young country. We're only 200 years old, and we're like the kid. We're running around, waving our flags, playing our music, getting drunk. We're doing our thing. We're Americans. That's what we do. And occasionally, like the song says, if it gets in a little too close, we kick ass. We throw a few chairs around. We bust a few tables. We knock a few people on their ass. That's what you do when you're young. That's what we are. We're a young country. You, over there in France, on the other hand, you're just an old, diaper-wearing, pruned-up old lady. And you don't like all the loud music. Well, we understand that. We understand that. We get it. But you're going to have to get us. You dig it? You're going to have to understand us. Now, we got this kid brother, and his name is Canada. And he's under the influence of his old pruned-up mommy, France. He won't party with us. We're like the older brother going, why don't you have a little party with us, man? But no, Canada, they got to hang out with their pruned-up mom, and put the diapers on, and go get mom her brandy and her sherry, and draw a bath for her. And meanwhile, we're going to go out and party and dance and kick ass. And they don't want to come with us. They want to draw a bath and pour mommy her sherry. So we got to have to drag our kid brother Canada along with us and say, would you just leave that pruned up old lady in the bathtub with the seepage and in a little bit of mud coming out through the diaper and come on out and kick some ass with us? And Canada, you know, like a lot of countries, they think they know better, see? They think they've been around. They think they've been down the block. And those Americans are just so loud and vulgar. And we don't go in for that sort of thing. Oh, really? What don't you go in for? Well, we don't do that flag-waving thing. Well, maybe you got a cob shoved so far up there that it's coming out your mouth. How about that? Maybe it isn't that you're more sophisticated. Maybe you just got a pole up there that somebody needs to extract medically, surgically. Now, this French judge, I don't know what her problem is. I think it's indicative, though, of the nature and the character of that country. Now, you know, I've talked this way before. I take people individually. I take people on a case-by-case basis. But as a nation, the French ceased to matter as a nation after World War I. Basically, they ceased to matter as a nation, really, in the last 100 years. No, nobody cares anymore what they got to say about anything. See, what they do, man, is they see themselves as a country that, you know, they're going to chill everybody out. They're going to get everybody to sit down at the table, and everybody's going to rap, and they're going to facilitate this. This is what happens when you can't live down the mistakes of your past, when you were on your belly so often, and you were giving it away for free for so long that, you know, the big scarlet letter just right there hanging off of your face that you can't even stand to look at yourself in the mirror. So you turn into a facilitator and you you get everybody to sit down and you're the peacemaker. Because if you ever consider yourself to be a warrior, you got to look at your past. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and realize you ain't no warrior at all. Now, here's what we do with the French. Hey, frog, you're going to recount that vote. You're going to give the thing to the Canadians so they'll quit screaming about it. You did it in our country, so you're pissing us off. And another thing, get out of here. They've had their ass kicked so much that the national shame, they can't live it down. They've decided to, you know, to take the high road. They're going to be the peacemakers. But the one thing they do over in that country that I respect, they insist that you speak French. And I'm very totally into that. They insist on you speaking French when you go to their country because they know that that's all they got left. That's all they got left. You got to speak French. We got to maintain somehow the integrity of our culture and our society because we really don't have much else. Our French language and a couple of paintings, some old buildings, some concept or image of us as being carefree. And we live for today. What knows what will happen tomorrow? You know, that's the kind of a cloak that they wear to camouflage the national shame that they've got to live with. And if you don't dig us, because we wave our flag, and because we run around the country and around the globe kicking ass, well, just consider us for what we are. We're a very young country, a bunch of young kids, and we're making a lot of noise, and we're turning our radio up loud, and we're drinking beer till 2 in the morning, and we're partying with our flag, and we go out and we kick some ass. And if you don't like it, move. Because we ain't going no place. You are arrogant. Yeah, arrogant. You know what arrogant? Every time I hear somebody say that we're arrogant, you know what that means? It means we just live better than you, and you can't stand it. We live better than you. We got a cooler country. We have more fun per capita, per square inch than you'll ever have in your life, and it's bugging you to death. Because you somehow can't squeeze any joy out of life because you're old. And, you know, if you live long enough, yeah, you learn a lot of lessons. And you know how your old man used to come to you and say, son, you know, if you live to be my age, you'll realize all this partying and girls and sex and drugs and it's not fun. Oh, really? It's not fun. Well, I guess I just can't get it up. Yeah, that's your problem. Don't tell me it's not fun. Just tell me that you didn't get the Viagra prescription this month. You didn't get down to Tijuana in time. Your good friend Buddy didn't come up with the big blue pills like he said he would, okay? So you're out to lunch, man, for another 60 days till you can, I don't know, they do maybe the senior citizen tour down to Agua Caliente and you can break off from the group for a while, go into the pharmacy and get yourself some of those Freebies. While you're down there, by the way, you might as well get some penicillin, too. That's why you don't dig us. It isn't because it doesn't matter anymore, because that kind of lifestyle is, it's passé. It's because you're old, man, and you can't sport it any longer. That's the dilemma that our country lives with. And what bothers me is, it's so obvious, we got a lot of Americans who are like embarrassed at having a good time. But just because we get a kick out of life doesn't mean we got to go along with everybody else and feel real dour and sad and feel crap. And what about Ted Turner? Did you hear this latest from him? The reason why we got attacked at the World Trade Center is because of poverty. Now, I'm not going to say that Ted Turner doesn't know what he's talking about. The guy's an accomplished man. He's a multi-billionaire. He's paid his dues. He obviously has bit off a little bit of this world, and he's experienced a little bit of this world. He probably at one time in his life was poor as well, or broke. See, there's a difference between being broke and being poor. I've been broke. I don't know if I've ever been poor. Well, if you call shoplifting for food when you're a senior in high school poor, then I was poor. I've been broke plenty. And I'm sure Ted Turner's been broke. But for him to say that the World Trade Center attack is the result of poverty is not only stupid, I mean just flat stupid. It shows absolute disrespect for anybody anywhere who's ever been poor. I don't think he would know a poor guy if the guy came up and he gave him $20 for a little something, you know, of a little Bobby Dooley action in the locker room. I don't think Ted Turner would know what poor is. For him to say something like that, it's the result of poverty. Hey, Ted, you suppose there's a few poor people out there? In other words, poor means murder. That's in his book, that's what that means. If you're poor, then you naturally want to commit homicide. Unless I'm wrong, that's exactly what the guy said. If you're poor, then you want to murder somebody. I know a lot of rich guys want to murder people. I'm not rich and I ain't poor. I'm comfortable. Every day I walk out of here, I want to commit murder. What's that tell you? Ted, I'm sorry that Fox has beaten you. Suck it up like a man. Find some way to garner headlines other than that. Get the zipper thing going again with Paula. Hire back Greta and give her a breast job to enhance the eye job that she's already had. Maybe a butt lift and a tummy tuck and an ass lift and an ear drop. And you got yourself an award-winning ball club. I tell you what, as long as you're giving people a cosmetic surgery, get Aaron Brown in there and give him a new head. That way, you're going to have yourself a winner, and you won't have to run around making a lot of stupid statements at functions where it's $300 at dinner or a plate or whatever the hell it is. Is that shrimp, or did somebody, you know, amputate something into my linguine? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
I
don't know what magazine it's out of, but Janice just handed me this. This is from a man's magazine. This is from FHM. It's an ad, and the top of the ad says, quote, 67% of women say they're unhappy with the size of their lover's penis. Isn't that great? That's great. So most women are unhappy with us. Well, that's nothing new. Just to go along with everything else that's happening, just to kind of put a capper on a bad day. And in case you didn't know, what, 67% of all women say you're too small. Well, there's nothing I can do about it, honey. There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm sure not going to send away for longitude capsules. You know, it's one thing to hang a weight from. It's another thing to get one of those auto pumps. I ain't sticking any medicine inside of me. I am not. I don't care if it comes from the ginseng tree, some Amazon medicine pumped out of the sap, you know, Sean Connery medicine man thing. Something that they made that they brewed over a fire and the guy puts on the end of a stick and, here, you try. You try. Well, what is it? You try. I'm not going to try until you tell me what it is. You try. You know, some cocoa leaf. Did you ever see that flick Papillon? God, remember those guys were eating that? What were they doing? They weren't snorting the coke. They were eating the cocoa leaves. They were rolling the cocoa leaves up and eating it, and they were running. They had escaped from this French prison, and they were running through the jungle away from their French guards. And it's Steve McQueen and the guy, I can only say he's the guy from Barney Miller. But the guy that's Gregory Sierra was the other actor. And Steve McQueen and Gregory Sierra, are running through the forest and they're rolling up these cocoa leaves and popping them and eating them and getting just wired. And they're sprinting. And the French have hired these headhunters. And these are natives of the South American jungle to help track these guys. These are expert headhunter natives that the French guards use as mercenaries to track escaped convicts. And these guys know their stuff. They know how to set certain traps. They know where a man's going to run. They know where he's going to seek out water. So here's Steve McQueen and this Gregory Sierra. They're running through the jungle. They're popping these cocoa leaves. They're running through the jungle. They're eating the cocoa leaves. You can tell they're just speeding out of their minds. And the next thing you know, Sierra trips a trap, and it's this spiked bamboo trap that just goes right through him. I mean, this guy like a rat. And the dude is just standing there impaled on about five bamboo rods, shaking, speeding, and McQueen's kind of walking around him, looking at him, and like there's nothing he can do, and he just keeps on running.
Really cool before dinner.
Okay, here is Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Ken?
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing,
good.
Phil, you just happened to really strike a nerve there because I'm a French-Canadian, and I live in Houston now, so I'm a...
Oh, yeah? Where are you from in Quebec? Where are you from?
I'm from Quebec.
Where?
Where?
What part of town?
Well, I was born there. I've never really lived there.
Yeah, well, you never really were born there either, were you, Clem? Thanks for the call, though. Here is Palm Harbor on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. You know what's only worse than the Canadians or the French, don't you? A French Canadian. You got the worst of both worlds there.
Great. Thanks for your call. Jeff, and he's gone. Oh, there you go. +1 800 449 8686. If you think you can top those three stellar calls, actually two and a half. There was a guy there, and he decided to hang up while the getting was good. If you can top those two calls, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be quite a feat. That was some of the most interesting, funny, exciting, and pointed material that I have heard on this show in months. So it's going to take quite an effort on your part, but I think maybe you can do it by giving us a call here at 1-800-449-8686. But I'm going to tell you right now, those calls were so good that I think that's our quota for today. What do you think? Let's just quit while we're ahead. But if you think that you're funnier than, let's say, Carrot Top, give us a call, although I doubt it. 1-800-449-8686. Dan, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just want to know if that blowjob thing was for...
That's against FCC rules. That was a bit we were doing, okay?
Okay.
That was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley.
Seriously?
Yes, sir. That was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley.
Because okay. I was totally blown away by that. Like, I thought it was, like, unsurprisable, but, you know.
Well, what are you talking about? Is this the first time you've heard our show?
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever heard it. Like, I'm a newcomer to the area pretty much, so...
All right, well, yeah, what we do. I do these voices of characters, and people call up and talk to them, thinking that they're real.
I totally thought it was real. I was totally taken in by it.
Yeah. Well, there you go, pal.
All right, man.
Did you like it? Was it funny, or were you just shocked?
I thought it was a little bit of both. Like, I was totally in awe of the fact that a middle-aged woman could be proud of giving fellatio for favors from the court, so I was like,
right.
The fact that, and it sounded quite real, obviously it sounded quite realistic. So.
Right.
So I was just like, yeah, I thought, now that I know the joke, it's a lot funnier, but still.
She's very, yeah, well, she stands up for her kids, man. Whatever it takes,
yeah.
You know?
She's a stand-up woman.
There
so
you go,
yeah. Down,
so to speak. Okay, pal, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Ralph, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Ralph? Here's Randy on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil?
Yeah, Randy?
Hey, how are you, man?
Fine, thanks.
Good. I just want to let you know that I enjoy your show, okay? I listen to your show a lot, and I just thought the last spiel with the Canadian and the lady in school was fantastic.
What Canadian and what lady in school? Oh, the bit, the flashback.
The bit,
okay,
the bit.
Yeah. Thank
yeah,
you very
yeah,
much. Thanks for calling. The Canadian, I didn't know what he was talking about. We were talking about the Claude Bouchard thing. What lady in school?
I guess the other lady he was talking
the
to.
Lady, what lady in school? Don't know. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget about our website, philhendryshow.com. Pick up the best of the Phil Hendry Show CD there or call 877-616-7445. This year's CD is filling up. What? This year's CD is filled to the brim, excuse me, with some of the best bits of the year 2001. $20, $350 shipping and handling. You can enjoy some of the best stuff of the year 2001. What a great Valentine's Day gift for the Phil Hendry fan in your life. PhilHendryShow.com or 877-616-7445. That's toll free.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Got a stat here, 100%. Well, yeah, did I say 100%? 100% of all heart attack deaths occur before they get the guy to the hospital. You're kidding. He gets to the hospital, he's got a doctor, right? Or am I stupid? I'm probably stupid. I guess some guys die in the hospital, too. I don't know why I'm even talking about this with you fine young people, but, you know, you get to a certain age and you start thinking heart attack. Do you realize? Just go with me on this for a second. Seriously, I'm 49, man. I don't make any bones about my age. I don't hide it at all. I'm 49, the big 49. All 49 states, man, right around the world. And I'll be standing like in the shower and I'll think, God, if I have a heart attack right now, I'll die and no one will find me for like a day. So you start thinking about that. Like, where am I? Like, I'll be jogging up a hill or I'll be somewhere remote. If I croak, they won't find me for weeks. Just stuff like that. And I read about guys just croaking from a heart attack like this, just like they go. And I'm thinking, how does that feel? I mean, do you get any warning? Is there any chance to get to a phone? Is there any chance at all to get to a phone? So, hello, I'm having a... Oh, you're gone. I mean... Whatever, man. But there's none of that in my family. My old man was, you know, he had a good heart. I mean, everything else was gone. His brain was gone. My dad was healthy right up to the day he died. I mean, you know, physically, mentally, he was shot. Mentally, he didn't know, you know, he was wandering the streets, crapping in his pants. But physically, he was great. Great health, Mr. Hendry, huh?
Hi.
Hi. I'm the doctor. You passed your physical.
Hi.
That's okay. I got to get going. Thanks, Doc. Thanks for showing up.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you? I'm your son, Phil. I'm your son.
Oh, hi.
Hi there. Okay, we got to get going now. Okay, Doc, thanks a lot. Yeah, here are the diapers. Now, you put these on twice and just double wrap them. Yeah, go ahead and double wrap the diaper. He'll be fine. Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, Dad, how's it going?
Hi.
Yeah, all right. Look. Want a drink? How about a beer, huh?
No, I don't think you should give it to him, Phil. Well,
shut up, will you? Come on, Dad, let's go get drunk, huh? Okay. All right. Come on, we'll go down one of them bars in San Pedro, man. You used to hang out in those bars in Pedro, you know? Remember when you were selling all those truck tires down there to all those guys?
Truck tires, yeah.
Yeah, truck tires. Remember you used to sell those?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go have a beer in one of those bar rooms down there. Shoot some pool. Huh? What do you think, huh? Come on, Pops, come on.
Your father can't be moved.
Ah, shut up. I'm moving him. My dad says to me one day, what do you think of Frank Gifford? I don't know. Why? I think he could still play ball for the Giants. Dad, he's 63 years old. Well, I know, but he's in good shape. I don't think so, Dad. Why? Why can't he? He played great. He's fantastic. Tight end, halfback, the whole...
Frank Gifford? He's 63.
No, I think he could do it. I think you're full of crap. That's what I think. I think you're full of crap. You and your brother and your sisters always been full of crap. I'm full of crap. Frank Gifford, 63. He can't play in the NFL anymore. And look at you raising your voice at me, too. Always raising your voice at me. That's when I knew. I said, wait a minute. I get it now. What? What do you get? You're nuts. You're nuts, aren't you? Nuts. Now, the only one here as nuts as you. Frank Gifford was a hell of a ball player, and now, for some reason, they won't let him play football anymore. See what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's the blacks. The blacks. That's what does it. The blacks. Spicks and niggers. Spicks and niggers. I'm telling you right now, spicks and niggers. Are you dumping that? No, don't dump it. That was my father. I'm quoting my father. Look at, I don't mean to be offensive. Seriously, I apologize. That's what my dad would say. He picked me up from the airport one day. He's like, Spicks, that's what the problem of the world is. Spicks. I said, Dad, you know, where's this coming from, man? Everything. He was so unhappy at the end of his life. And then he starts losing his freaking mind, you know. It's like Frank Gifford can still play football. I said, there's no way, man. You and your sisters and your brother always argue with me. Never have any respect. Never have any respect for me. Okay, Dad, Frank Gifford can play football. How about that? Oh, you're just patronizing me now. They put a good ball club together. Frank Gifford, Y.A. Tittle, and, you know, Charlie Kruger. That'd be a really good team. But he picks me up from the airport one day, and we got into the car, and he starts banging the... Because I'd flown in from Florida, wherever it was that I was working at the time. You know, I was out in my little radio career out there, and I flew back for Christmas, and he starts banging the dashboard going, I'll tell you what's wrong with the world. Spicks! Spicks are what's wrong with the world! Now, toward the end of his life, what he was doing, what he was selling truck tires down in Pedro. And for the, you guys that don't know, San Pedro is the L.A. Harbor District. So he was down in the harbor. He was right down in the industrial district down there. And I guess something happened down there. I guess he ran into a few spicks or something. I don't know what happened. He was a typical white guy. Typical 20th century World War II veteran white man. That was his problem, you know. It wasn't even his problem. It's the way they were raised in those days. Things changed too fast for those guys, man. Al Campanis, Jimmy the Greek, and my dad never had a shot, didn't have a prayer. When the world really got cranking there, when the world really started changing there, from the 60s and 70s on, those guys were left in the dust. That's the only way those guys knew how to think. And the guys that made it through, hey, more power to them, you know. But those old guys, some of them, they had no prayer. They didn't have any concept. They didn't know how to. They just didn't know how to adjust, you know. And my father was a salesman. He had a pretty good way with people, you know. He could, he could sure pitch some bullcrap. I can tell you that much. I mean, so you'd figure he'd be able to bullcrap his way through Mustang. But I don't think you make too many sales when you walk in and go, "Just too many spicks around here. I can't sell a truck tire." Hey, Dad, have a good day today? No. Why? Well, I walked into this place, and I said, who's the head spick? And next thing you know, nobody wants to buy anything. Melissa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Melissa.
Yes, hi. Sorry.
Are you stunned? Or are you?
I'm telling you. I was, like, so entranced by what you were saying, so forgive me.
Yeah.
Listen, promise me whenever you divorce your wife, you're going to marry me.
All right, you're on.
Miami.
Wow, thank you.
My brother and I, absolute addicts, have all the tapes, members of the fan club, on the website, the whole... We're absolute stalkers.
What fan club?
Well, the one on the website, or like the premier members. And
you're a backstage pass member.
Yes,
oh,
that's the
only fan club. That's the only fan club to be in.
Totally.
And guess what? Coming up very soon, we're going to have Ted's of... Well, I don't want to say. We've got some merchandise that we're going to offer first to our exclusive fan club members only.
Shut
up. It's going to be very cool. Very cool.
Oh, I'm all over that. Okay, here's why I'm calling.
Let me ask you something. As long as you're on the phone, could I just do a little test marketing thing? Would you buy a Phil Henry Show shot glass?
Are you kidding me?
You would?
Right now, the shot glasses I have, I painted your face on them already.
Oh, really? Okay, because I'm thinking about coming out with a Phil Henry Show shot glass. I don't want to do any hats or T-shirts, you know?
No.
Forget that.
No. I've got to go
something.
Shot glass.
I want to do a Phil Henry Show suit. Double-breasted... I'm kidding. Go ahead. So what were you going to say, Melissa?
Now, listen, how about the little, like, you know, Phil Henry decal, like, in the back of the car, like the...
Well, I think you know what? I think it's asking a lot of a listener to deface their car with a stupid radio station sticker, but how about a Phil Henry Show spittoon?
You know...
You put it right there in the corner of your kitchen, you just... Hey, thanks, Phil. Ding! One of those things, like, in the cartoon, go... Yeah. All right.
Well, here's why I'm calling.
Yes.
You know what we totally miss, and we haven't heard in a long time, is callers to call in, the real idiots. And you do the whole, like, voice recording like you were a telephone recorder. You know, press one if you're Canadian.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll tell you why we can't do that. In those days, people would call thinking they had another establishment. We got a lot of wrong numbers. Now we have an 800 number. And you don't get as many wrong numbers with an 800 number.
Oh,
the other thing was we were on at night for a long. We're still on at night in many areas.
Yes,
and you don't get calls for businesses at night like you did during the daytime.
That's
true. But we did occasionally. Like one time, I got a call from a guy who wanted the Pizza Hut. You know, and we screwed with him and we put that on the CD. But let me ask you, Chris, do you get wrong numbers? Do you ever get somebody calling saying? Do you ever get that? Okay. They're selling a newspaper? Okay.
But let me ask you this. Like, remember the times, like, they used to call and they were so mad at you, they wanted to speak to the station manager?
Yes, all of that.
And then you could do that.
Do you,
you
ever
know?
Get those but... calls, Chris, when they're so mad they want to speak to the station? You want to speak to the station? So why don't you use, why don't you put them through, Chris? You
those
put them on hold,
the...
and they usually hang up.
Oh,
okay.
God, they are the best phone calls.
We used to have a lot of fun with the people calling in and saying, "Ow, this man's program sucks on wings.
Exactly.
I need to talk to the station manager." We did have a lady. Where's the CD where we had the lady who thought she was talking to David Hall? And I think I got it here. I'll play it for you when we come out of the break.
Okay.
And she thinks that she's talking to David Hall, and she's calling me every name in the book. And then apparently I'd said that David Hall was drunk at the Christmas party and put a salmon between his knees and was doing a dance on a buffet table. And she's going, "And Mr. Hall, he said that you had a salmon between your knees and were doing a dance on a table." All right. Melissa, thank you for those beautiful memories.
Phil. No, all right. Not at all. And bless your heart, and more power to you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's on this one, I think. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I thought they said that Daniel Pearl might be alive, according to that Pakistani ringleader. Now, according to CNN, the Pakistani ringleader told a Pakistani police spokesperson or a police agency that he thinks he's possibly dead. Now, I don't know about the Pakistani police, but something tells me they don't exactly give you your Miranda rights over there. I don't think that they're, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to, screw it. I don't think they're over there necessarily hiring William Kunstler and out on bail 24 hours making statements to the press, the little impromptu conference out there on the courthouse steps, you know? I think there's a whole lot of cavernous sort of catacomb-like jails over there, things that are underground, things that, in other words, stifle the screams, kind of a muffled thing. I think there's places over there that they just call Ministry B. You don't know, you go to Ministry B, you know, the Hall of, you know, the Ministry of Fear, the Hall of Propaganda, Cell Block H, just places that you don't want to have to be if for any reason you don't have to be. And if those guys can't get the information out of them, then I don't know who's going to. I mean, you know, just a car battery to the testicles can do wonders. 1-800-449-8686. Mary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, I needed to know, where are you from?
Arcadia, California.
Really? You just seem like you're from New York. You are so refreshingly straightforward that I dig it.
I should have been raised in New York. I have a great affinity for New York, and I think there's a generation of people who were born in Los Angeles, as I was, who should have been born in New York.
Absolutely.
Because this was not a place to grow up if you wanted to get up in anybody's face or be overly cynical. This was, and still remains, a city that is more comfortable with a kind of non-confrontational, you know, umbrella drink modality.
Right, and you're straightforward. I don't know why you don't do political stuff, because a lot of these people right now need to hear.
I can do political stuff.
Really, all about.
What? Give me something political, and I'll do it.
Okay, well, like the soft money stuff, where, you know, the big government or the big corporations are buying off our senators and congressmen, and, you know, everybody thinks that's okay, and it's like, it's not.
I don't know what soft money is. I got to look that up. Soft money?
Soft money, yeah. And
I thought that was my wife's nickname for me.
Good.
So,
you must have one to be able to be out there like you are.
Well, that's
love
the
that.
Truth, yeah.
I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. We did have to dump the D word, though, dear.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Not a problem. Soft money, huh? You mean politicians being bought and paid for?
Exactly. Like Enron trying to buy, okay, the Republicans $100 million, and then the Democrats, he gave $50 million. Of course, Clinton helped him get through his scam for a while, but now, of course, Bush is saying, no way. And there you have him falling out.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with being rich. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being rich enough to pay people a certain amount of money to have them do your bidding. Do you?
But look what happened to a lot of people here in Houston. I mean, it just wasn't right running a, what do they call it, pyramid scheme, and now all these people are...
Is that what Enron was, a pyramid scheme?
Yeah.
Or was it just a badly run company, you know, whose books were sort of cooked a little bit?
Exactly. They had a lot of schemes going on that weren't for real.
Well, I mean, you know, this is a publicly traded company, right?
Yes, as far as I know.
I mean, first of all, where's the culpability of somebody investing their money in a, and I mean taking just about every dime they've got and sinking it into one company? Where's the culpability of an individual and holding accountable their intelligence to some degree, taking every nickel they've got and sinking it into one company? I've got a little investment portfolio, you know, that I first started when I was working locally here at KFI. I got it maybe at tops 10% of my money in any one thing, in any one entity.
I understand, but I don't think that they all did that. I think that they were cut off from taking some of their monies out and investing in other places.
I did my best, Mary, but I did my best, but you're leaving me in the dust. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, you seem so incredibly witty, and
My husband
doesn't appreciate you, but I love listening to you.
You're out of sight. Thanks. That's a rare thing that the woman in the family likes the show as opposed to the guy.
Oh, I dig it.
Oh,
it's
cool.
So refreshing.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, bye.
Good luck.
Okay. Good luck. Yeah, well, that's the famous last words. Good luck. I don't know. I could talk like Rush. But leave that leave me. I'm Rush Limbaugh. I don't know. There are some things that are best left to our own study, our own tuition, our own investigation. There are some things best left to you, the individual human being, the individual investor, the individual taxpayer, the individual voter. You go out and investigate these things. You can't possibly hope to get the story from Phil Hendry or anybody else. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're flipping on the talk radio station to get information upon which you will base your decisions having to do with Enron or anything else, you're in serious trouble. I mean, you're in big, big trouble. You know, you don't have to flip the tube in a radio on to get information about anything. You can do a little investigation on your own using the internet, using periodicals, talking to people, like, you know, going back to school. Figure it out for yourself. Because some stuff I want to talk about and some stuff I don't want to talk about. Some things I know a lot about. Enron, I don't know jack about. Although I try to educate myself, I sure ain't going to come on the radio and start talking about it. I'm liable to lose you even more money. Although I do have a really good stock tip. See, what you do... Well, never mind. Bye, Mark McMahon. Be right back. On the EIB Network.